over a long period of time, I've been watching this seat in this race, and I watched Gail Schwartz the last cycle, and she worked so hard and had so many positive things that could have been brought to the district. And I really started thinking about it after her loss in that race. And then, honestly, what really drives me forward is my family. My wife, Cheryl, who's in the studio here with me, we started a nonprofit a couple of years ago called Smiling Goat. We work with children with autism and veterans with PTSD. My stepson, Mark, who is commissioning into the Air Force and is in the Air Liaison Officer Select. He is being channeled into Special Forces. That's how he can serve. To my daughter, Zoe, who is finding her voice as a young activist, who has been active in the women's movement, speaking in Pueblo in front of 1,100 people for the Women's March, or walking out of her high school here in honor of Parkland. Mm-hmm. To my youngest son, who did the same thing at CCS and walked out in honor of Parkland. So really, we're a family that serves, and this is my time to step up and serve. And certainly, we can do much better than we have in terms of a representative who is active, engaged in the district, and really pushing forward those issues that are important to us.
The last time I saw you, Carl Hanlon, was at a Colorado Basin Roundtable meeting. How do you see water as an issue in the 3rd Congressional District?
It is really becoming one of the core issues in the 3rd Congressional District. If you look at the drought cycle we're in today, it's clear that there is a lot of work we need to do all over the district and so many different basins that it includes. When you look at the San Luis Valley, they're 35 to 38% of snowpack this year. There's going to be tremendous impacts on the farming and ranching community in the San Luis Valley. Over in Durango, similar issues. And obviously here in the Colorado Basin, our snowpack has gotten better, but it's leaving earlier than it ever has. And so really, it's becoming a central issue, and it ties in tightly to public lands issues. In terms of how we protect those public lands, we are a headwaters state. It's incredibly important that we're careful about how we manage that water, both at the state level and then also at the federal level, how we engage the federal government with things like Green Mountain Reservoir, the Bureau of Rec, BLM, Forest Service. We have to be much more engaged and much more thoughtful about what the future is going to look like and stop focusing so much on kind of one application at a time, what's in front of us right now, and not thinking about those larger policy issues.
Well, what are some specific solutions you'd like to work toward when it comes to water use?
Really, what I think we need to look at from a federal level is being careful and thoughtful and aggressive about how we manage reservoir levels and how the bigger system interacts, whether it's Lake Powell or it is Green Mountain Reservoir. How do we interact with those major reservoirs as we move water up and down a system like the Colorado River, mm-hmm. which is the one obviously I'm most familiar with? But there are similar issues with the other interstate compacts
right.
on the Arkansas or on the Animas down into New Mexico that we really need to focus on how we manage the system as a whole. And we're really not doing that as well as we could today.
At the roundtable mm-hmm. meeting, some ranchers talked about doing a study on the amount of water they use. They did not want the Middle Colorado Watershed Council to do it for them for fear they'd lose their water rights. What do you have to say to ranchers about water and water use? I mean, it seems that they're on the defensive when it comes to water.
I can't remember if that was the roundtable when we were talking about the grant application. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I sort of negotiated a detente between those two
yes,
groups.
Yes, you did.
And really, I think what's so important is that sometimes our agricultural community feels like it is on the outside of the conversation. And that really was an issue we saw deeply in 2016 in mm-hmm. the election cycle and something that I'm striving very hard to change. I come from an agricultural background. I understand where these men and women are coming from in ag and why they feel like they're on the outside. And that ability to bridge that gap and build trust is incredibly important to how we move forward on those issues. So my advice to the ranchers and farmers is get engaged and get engaged early, which is tough because they are working long hours mm-hmm. and long days, mm-hmm. and it's hard to engage in all these other activities that everybody else seems to be. But the more you can engage, the greater the opportunities there are for you in the agricultural side. And also it's just education on the other side, if you will, that we can all work together to make this mm-hmm. work well.
Are you in favor of gun control?
That's a tough one, and I'm going to tell a story to get us to my answer.
Okay.
So, as you know, I grew up on a ranch. Mm-hmm. A gun was a tool. I've been a lifelong gun owner. I carried one as a park ranger, and certainly it's part of our sort of our family recreation, if you will. I'm also a hunter.
Okay.
But when I was cooking dinner after Parkland, and I was looking across the counter at my daughter, who goes to Roaring Fork, and asked her what her thoughts were about Parkland. And she said, "Dad, I know what every exit is from every classroom. I know what furniture I can stack in front of the door. I know what things I can use as a weapon in the classroom. Mm. And I know what my friend's exit strategy is." It really hit home that I shouldn't be having to have that conversation with my daughter, who is a senior in high school, when our U.S. Congress, Paul Ryan, will stand up and, in what I really view as really an act of cowardice, say, "We're not going to have this conversation." Hmm. And if I, as a parent, and she, as a student, has to have a conversation about guns, then we absolutely have to at the national level.
Are you in favor of penalizing sanctuary cities?
No. As you know, I'm a municipal attorney, and for a long time I have worked hard on issues of home rule and things like that. I think that one of the things we've lost sight of sometimes is the importance of the local opinion, whether it's a state's rights position or it's a local jurisdiction opinion on what happens to people who are really their citizens.
Carl Hanlon, Democratic candidate for the 3rd Congressional District, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.